When people think of Iceland, they often think of treeless land.
You know, there is a, well, classic joke in Iceland about the Icelandic forest. And it goes like this. What do you do if you get lost in an Icelandic forest?
I don't know. What do?
You just stand up.
The stark and austere landscape of Iceland is iconic. Punctuated by vast glaciers and volcanoes, one of the most noticeable traits of Iceland is its lack of trees. But Iceland's landscape is changing to bring back forests to this treeless land.
Now we go off the paved road.
Oh, great, okay.
Whoops! No.
The Icelandic speed bump.
Professor Samson Harrison is a forestry expert with Iceland's Land and Forest Service and is working on a hugely ambitious project.
So natural forest in Iceland was down to 1% of the landmass in approximately 1900. We are now up to 1.5%. So we are protecting the remains of the forest, and in many places we are planting new forest.
Here in South Iceland, in the area surrounding Hekla Volcano, they're reforesting an area the size of 140,000 football pitches.
So Samson, why have we stopped here?
Well, we can see some remnants of the birch, the birch forest here. We can see how the forest degrades. And one way for the birds to, you know, grow back from the old roots is sending up shoots. But if you graze, the sheep eats the new shoots and then the tree dies.
So the sheep are one of the big issues here?
Yeah.
Iceland has a long tradition with sheep farming. In centuries gone past, these animals were a lifeline for food and clothing. But years of grazing by thousands of these animals destroyed thousands of trees, leaving the land and soil vulnerable. Hrefna Jensdottir is another of the reforesting team.
Here we can see some birch.
Oh, wow.
Some seedlings, yeah. Actually, it could be 10, 20 years old.
Wow.
But it constantly bitten by the sheep.
Oh, I see.
It don't get the chance to grow up.
And presumably it never will unless the sheep stop grazing here.
Yeah.
Before the arrival of settlers in the 9th century, this whole area was largely covered in birch woodlands and plants, which, when Hekla did erupt, which she does a lot, the soil could stabilise despite ashfall and even glacial floods.
This is absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, of course it is in a way. Landscapes like this has been romanticized, but you can also see the ugliness of the destruction. So this land used to be green fields, farmland, but now you can see the erosion in the hills. This used to be a field here that has been eroded. You can see the trees that are dying. And of course, lava, the most horrible thing to get if you're a farmer and you get lava over your green fields. That's horrible.
It's an area that has endured centuries of damage. And by the 19th century, vast areas of Iceland have become barren deserts, and volcanic sandstorms forced many to abandon homes and even farms.
All of this area used to be very fertile and with a lot of farming and a lot of farms, but erosion took away all that fertile land.
What happens when soil erosion occurs?
Because we live in a volcanic island, so we have a lot of volcanic eruptions, and with that comes a lot of ash and sand. But then we also have a lot of wind. So the wind takes the sand and brings it over a good area, and then it takes all the goodness. Goes away, the wind and the sand, so it's a kind of sandstorm just like carves all the good land away.
And then it blows just away,
it just blows away, yes.
So even good, fertile land just becomes degraded?
Yes, it does.
Without meaning to, we sometimes make the conditions we film in look better than they were. To better understand how the combination of wind and sand can scour the soil, here's a look at the conditions we were actually filming in. This striking strip of vegetation that survived a sandstorm in 1882 underlines the terrible power of that combination of wind and volcanic sand and ash.
So what's happening here? Because we've got all these amazing trees, but actually just next to it, there's some very rocky land.
All of this area, this lava field over here and on the other side, used to look like this, very fertile with a lot of trees. But in 1882, there were sandstorm for 3 weeks. All of the soil that was here just got blown away. And this part where we are standing got sheltered by the mountain. It is over there.
So this area got saved?
Yes,
just by the mountain. Just a narrow strip.
Just a narrow strip, yes.
Wow. So how was the storm able to destroy so much of the forest here?
There was very harsh conditions here in Iceland in the 19th century. It was very cold. We call it the Little Ice Age. So people had to, fire wood to heat up their farms. People were cutting down a lot of trees at that time. And then you only have the vegetation here. And when there's big storms for 3 weeks, then the grasses just all went away. And if the trees had still been here, there would have probably been some damage, but it would have been much less because it gives shelter to,
of course,
a lot of the area.
Yeah. And desertification, the process of areas turning to deserts, it's a big problem for Iceland.
Yes, and it's very difficult to go over the area, and so it's very difficult to put fertilizer there so the vegetation can come back.
But here they're not just battling land degradation, but an impending eruption from Iceland's most famous volcano. Mount Hekla has erupted more often than any other volcano in Iceland. Some historic eruptions were so powerful and violent that the volcanic ash reached mainland Europe. Sheltered from the weather, in the slopes of Hekla, this is a remnant birch forest. In a protected area, it survived and now represents this goal of restoring Iceland's forest, with high biodiversity and soil enriched by volcanic activity.
It's lovely. I can really hear the wind in the trees here, which is obviously unusual in this part of Iceland, isn't it, to have this much tree cover?
Yeah, wind in the trees is kind of rare, but this is nice.
Should we go?
Yeah. Here we can see some young trees growing up. Maybe a little bit further there. Look at the soil here. Obviously, there's a lot of sand and ash in it.
It does have a sort of a gritty texture. Is that the ash?
Yeah, but actually but a lot of organic material here too.
And this is good. This is good soil, or this is not always good soil?
Well, if it's stable and the vegetation gets hold and the tree starts to grow, it's quite good. But it's sensitive, of course, to erosion if the wind gets hold in it.
Yeah. So it's still at risk then of soil erosion?
Yeah.
As part of Iceland's commitments to restoring the forests, they accepted the Bonn Challenge, an initiative that unites nations to restore landscapes and reverse the effects of land degradation. To do that, they need to plant a lot of trees. And I mean a lot.
Hey, guys.
Hi, Gabriel. Nice to meet you. What have we got here today?
Some birch.
Some little baby trees.
Yeah.
How many are in there?
There's 67 in each tray.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you're going to plant every single one individually?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
How long would all of this take you?
Just for me or for the whole crew?
The whole crew.
Oh, half an hour.
Wow,
yeah.
That's pretty speedy.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And when you're planting them, what do you need to do?
It's not really the grass that we're looking for here, but if there was here, go there. And then you slide the plug in straight like this.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then close the hole. But right. I can show it better over there with
okay.
it.
Yeah.
Better ground.
Yeah, let's go. Let's do that. Where do I sit?
Here.
Here? Okay.
You good?
Yeah, I'm good.
Will was kind enough to stop and bring the camera crew along for a very bumpy ride to the plant site.
It's a bit crazy in here, eh? Nice, we made it.
Yay. Well done. That was amazing.
Yeah.
Good job. Okay, so just getting them ready for planting.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe you want to plant the tree.
I'd love
actually.
To, yeah.
Let's
yeah,
find sure. Where he hasn't been. Yeah.
So what are you looking for when it comes to where you're going to plant?
This is lime grass.
Yeah,
and that's what we're trying. So
okay.
Anywhere where you have any vegetation,
yeah.
You go in there, and then you slide it in. Some people will foot close, or you can just do it with your hands.
Yeah.
And then now you got to put a little bit of fertilizer.
And what's this? This is fertilizer.
Yeah.
And that's because the soil, it needs the extra help?
Yeah, exactly. It'll help the roots to start.
Will and the team are experts. They can plant hundreds of trees in just one day.
Master, can do this so speedily. Can I have a go? Can I plant one?
You want to take the...
Yeah, let's do the whole shebang.
Yeah, right. There you go.
I'm ready. Okay, so I want some vegetation near it. So
yeah, here would be great.
So that, okay, so yeah. A little hole in. So a C cut, like that.
Yeah.
Get one of those, slide it in.
Yeah.
Like it.
That's it. And I'll kick it. Yeah, there you go. I can put the fir.
Planted my first tree.
There you go.
Great. Brilliant.
Yeah, keep going.
You're putting me to work. What about here? No?
That would be the best spot.
Yeah, over here. So how many of these are you doing? Will?
About 6,000 in a day.
6,000?
It depends, yeah. With the fertilizing,
that's a
about
huge
6,000.
Number.
Yeah, you just go and go and go.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
You must feel really proud because you're doing something great for Iceland.
Yeah. Yeah.
Brilliant. Right, well, let's keep going.
Yeah.
Iceland is dreamlike for visitors. Mountains, volcanoes, glaciers, waterfalls, and even black sand beaches. But behind the beauty is an ecosystem that is still classed as one of the most degraded in Europe, having experienced one of the worst cases of deforestation in the world. But it's not just a case of planting any trees. It also matters which type of trees you plant and where. But how do you go about growing trees in a treeless land?
Most of these trees are, you know, planted after 1978 or so. And these are actually the oldest one, planted in 77.
This is your oldest tree?
These are the biggest trees.
The biggest ones?
Not the oldest one.
Okay.
But then in the past decade or two, I've been adding on, you know, more variety. But one of the main issues is to create a bit of a shelter for the more demanding species. Take, like, for example, this yellow cedar from Alaska. It didn't used to grow well here out in the open, but now it has the shelter. So it turns out a lot of things can grow in Iceland that you didn't think.
Dr. Alistair Sigurdsson is a forest geneticist with the Icelandic Forest Service. This is his summer cabin, where he's created, amongst barren deserts, his very own experimental Icelandic forest.
What were the first trees you planted?
This is Sitka spruce, it was one of them. The native downy birch and lodgepole pine, this one here. These are the ones that can do well out in the open. The others can come in after, once you have a little more better microclimate and better shelter. But the only native tree species that we have in Iceland that forms native natural woodlands is actually this downy birch. In this location, we're very close to the open Atlantic Ocean, you know, We get quite a bit of salt spray here during the winter. And even the native birch doesn't do very well here because of this wind and salt exposure. Unless it's getting shelter from something like this. The Sitka spruce was extremely salt tolerant. And it gives the shelter, and then even the native birch will do better than otherwise.
That's one of the challenges, isn't it, for Iceland, the extreme weather conditions you have here.
It's just a question of using the right species as pioneers in the start. And then you can add on, and you know, you have hundreds of different tree species here. And you know, nowadays I'm fooling around with oaks and beeches and ashes and everything from all over the world. It's growing here because you have those conditions that are proper for the more demanding, heat-demanding species.
Forests are a vital habitat. Worldwide, 85% of species are forest-dependent. That's not always been the case in Iceland, but recently, because of increasing tree cover, new species of birds are arriving.
What's that bird I can hear?
That's the blackbird, the same as you have in the rest of Europe. But we only had it in Iceland for 20, 30 years. It came in by itself and started to live in the trees, wake us up at 5 a.m. during the spring and summer. The woodcock, for example, didn't used to exist here, but it's now nesting in Iceland every year. The birds themselves are a bit of a index of biodiversity, and we notice that here. They're increasing in numbers and have very much to do with the increase in forest that we have. Okay, this is a good
spot.
Yeah,
this is nice, this is beautiful.
Yeah.
One of the most successful methods has been the iconic purple flower, the lupin. But as a non-native species, it's become a source of contention.
Icelandic volcanic soil is like any other volcanic soil. It's rich in all minerals except for one, and that's nitrogen.
Right.
Because we don't have any nitrogen-fixing species in our flora, so the lupin was brought in to save it more to enrich the soil for other trees.
Okay.
But then it became one of those many topics that Icelanders like to argue about, you know, claiming that it's a non-native, alien, invasive species that's threatening all Icelandic ecosystems. But it has a purpose, it has a role, and so on.
For any tree to stand a chance in Iceland's extreme conditions, they need healthy soil. But as our climate changes, the soil may not be enough.
The trees that you grow here, they need to be able to cope with the extreme weather conditions. But there's something else looming, isn't there? The warming temperatures are an issue.
That's right. A tree growing in Iceland has to be able to, you know, succeed in the climate we have now. But when the climatologists are predicting a 5-degree increase in temperature in every month of the year by the end of the century, that is putting Iceland almost in the same climate as you now have in Western Ireland. So that's a big difference in climate from what it is now. Well, from what we know, some of these trees we already have will continue to grow even if it gets 5 degrees warmer. Others will not.
There's another issue that comes along with the warming temperatures, isn't there? Pests and disease.
The best thing, of course, is to just have very much genetic variation in the trees that we bring in or have or grow. Prepare in that way, because many of the pests and diseases can be very specific, but that's not always the case. The other thing is to have a wide variety of tree species growing. But then, of course, you are in conflict with a bit of the nature conservation thinking that you should only protect the tree species that are native here. But I'm thinking what to do if you want to have a viable forest ecosystem in 100 years.
We are driving over a river now.
This is a puddle in comparison to what we're going to do later. Wow, what a location. This is insane.
We're heading to Thorsmörk, an enchanting valley, otherworldly, with volcanoes, glaciers, and rivers. It's a hiker's paradise. Like much of Iceland, it's an area that by the 19th century had become all but bare of trees, and soil erosion was destroying the land. Early intervention in the 1920s means this area is now a beacon of forestry success. I'm meeting the project's lead, Hrey Oskarsson.
Tell me about where we are.
We are in Þórsmörk. It's the forest of Thor. It's like from the mythology of the old one. On the other side of the valley, it's called Goðaland, like the land of the gods. So this has been like a sacred place for people through the centuries. People came here every year, brought the sheep in the spring and left them here for the summertime. And there were people always coming in. But in the end, you know, around 1900, there were almost no trees left.
And now this area has been transformed.
Yeah. So this area was fenced off in 1924. And so slowly the birds began to seed out. So these 200 hectares that were left, they are now close to 5,000 hectares.
Wow, that's incredible.
And the forests actually are creeping, or the woodlands are creeping upwards. And that's because it's getting a bit warmer. And it's very important to have these trees here because we are in the middle of volcanic zone. We have volcanoes here, Eyjafjallajökull, that erupted in 2010, stopped the flights all around the northern globe. And we have a even bigger volcano under the glacier out there. So we have had ash coming from these volcanoes probably millions of years.
And they can survive, can they?
Yeah, the birch trees, they are adapted to this and they can survive.
It may be a huge success story, but there's always work to do. Volunteers come from all over the world every year to help maintain the forests and soil here. The first job today is taking cuttings of willow trees.
What are you digging up there, Samson?
Oh, it's clover.
Oh, clover. So this is one of the plants that will help the soil?
Yeah.
Oh, brilliant.
Many of them have three leaves, but we have some of them with four or five leaves down here.
I need to go looking,
and
do I?
Yeah. He's going to look for them, for sure.
I'll let one of you lead the way.
Chas Garmans is originally from England, but now dedicates his time to Þórsmörk, running teams of volunteers.
So we're going to go up to one of the new trails, which is up on the hill here on the right.
Up here.
And it's maybe 4 or 5 years old. And close to it, there's an area which hasn't got vegetation and which is eroding quite badly.
Right, okay.
So the idea is to plant into it with the willow cuttings and see if we can stabilise it more.
And what will the willow cuttings do?
Hopefully, if we get the plants growing in there, it will hold the soil and it will start to, you know, spread out, and there will be other plants taking into the area, and then be less soil washing down and less material. So this is the way here.
Okay, you can take cuttings.
I'll do one. Sideways like that. Like that. Not in enough. That good?
I'm putting a little bit of fertilizer to strengthen the vegetation, to hold the soil.
What role do the trees play when the ash comes down?
When we lose the forest that protects the soil and the ash begins to blow around, we get this wind erosion. And that's a problem because the soil is very important to store carbon. It sustains a lot of plant growth, and all this plant growth sustains the ecosystem here, all the insects, all the birds, mice, fox, yeah, whatever.
And so this soil here, is this healthy soil we're looking at?
Well, no, this is probably the lowest part of mm-hmm. the old soil. Most of it has been eroded. So if you dig down into this, you can see underneath that there are actually ash.
Oh, the black bits.
Yeah, the black bits in the soil. So you have like volcanic ash mm-hmm. layers. If this is like the lowest part of the old soil, this might be thousands of years old.
Wow.
A few thousand years old. So when the soil was thicker before it eroded, you probably had ash layers from different volcanoes from different time. The ash has both positive and negative effects, of course. And the positive effect is that you get all kinds of nutrients. Like in 2010, when you got the ash coming from the volcano, you could see the effect on the vegetation. Everything was like blooming afterwards. But when the ash falls on barren land, it's blown around like snow. So that actually damages all vegetation. And that's part of the reason why we got so much erosion in Iceland.
Growing trees takes time and huge amounts of dedication. But for those involved in bringing trees back to Iceland, they're doing it not for today, but for tomorrow.
We have these extreme events in Iceland with volcanic eruptions and ash fall. It's important to get an ecosystem that has higher resilience than we have on the barren land. And if we have a proper forest cover on the land, we will not have as much problem with erosion in the future because of these volcanoes.
So when you look around, how does it make you feel seeing how amazing it looks today?
This is one of my favorite places in Iceland. I have actually a history in one of the people that gave this area to the Forest Service. That was my great grandfather. He lived on the next farm west from here, so it's a little bit personal family matter.
For most Icelanders, and especially of course the older generation, forests were kind of exotic. It's kind of a vision for many people to get back the forest.
You're really passionate about it. For all the things you could be doing, what is it about this?
Well, it gives me joy to plant trees, even though I won't be able to walk underneath them. You see, when I was a teenager, we had only small pockets of planted forests. And I remember looking at those pockets and wondering, is this possible in Iceland that this tree will grow? And now I've seen this happening and seen big changes. So I'm quite positive and optimistic.